Maybe if you listen to the clues.
Okay, okay. Me all ears. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's okay. First clue?
Okay, the first clue is that it is something to eat.
It's a cookie.
No, it's not a cookie.
Not a cookie. Give me a second clue.
Okay, the second clue is that it is something round.
A cookie.
No, it's not a cookie.
Not the cookie.
Mm-mm.
Sorry, third clue.
Third clue.
Just thought it might be cookie off chance.
Yes, no, it's not. The color of this thing is orange.
Something to eat
mm-hmm.
that is round
mm-hmm.
and orange. Mm-hmm. It's a cookie.
No, it is not a cookie.
Just thought one last chance, you know?
No, it's not a cookie.
Okay, me give up.
What? How can you give up? It's something to eat that's round and orange. It's an orange. It's an orange.
Me like that fourth clue. Is it an orange?
Of course it's an orange. I just told you it was an orange.
Me guess right. Me get cookie. Give me cookie.
No, you don't get a cookie.
Why?
I told you what it was. I told you it was an orange. You didn't guess it right.
Frog.
What?
You know, life not all guessing games, Frog. Sometimes we have to care about friends, especially friends who love cookies. Friends who love cookies so much, they play silly guessing games because maybe, just maybe a frog, a very handsome frog who has cookie, will give best friend who no can live without cookies, give that best friend a cookie. But if friendship mean nothing.
Okay. Here's your cookie.
One measly cookie?
Mm-hmm.
Speech like that deserve at least five cookies.
I only had one cookie.
Okay, in that case, me settle.
See? Nothing arrogant about that frog. You know, he handled one of the most difficult puppets that there is out there. You know, some, you know, Fozzie Bear, you can handle him. You know, he's kind of got a cowardice to him. Big Bird and, you know, Bert and Ernie. You know, Bert and Ernie have their tempers. You know, they flare time to time. They get into arguments. You know, one's mad at the other. But, you know, generally you can talk to him. But the Cookie Monster, he's right up there with Animal. And, you know, Kermit is good friends with Animal, you know? He's friends with everybody, you know? And he handles Cookie Monster, who's the most difficult puppet of this generation of puppets, with style and grace. Nothing arrogant about that frog. So, you know, the barkeep, the owner, his name was Hunter. Couldn't remember where he's from. Don't think he mentioned it. So he comes over and asks him about the name. He says, "Oh, it's I'm happy you asked." And I says, "Well, he says, "Oh, it's I bought the bar. It used to be this, and that." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." You know, he's going through the history of it for me. All the while, I'm thinking, "You know, come on, where's the joke coming? You know, are you just is this something I should turn my? I don't know. I couldn't. You know, I was actively listening to the story of the bar, but in my mind, I was like, oh, okay, all right." This is my argument. I'm gonna win. There's no shutting me down here. I have some of the best frogs on my in history on my side. You know, not just the one that got kissed and became a prince. He left the frog profession. Now I shouldn't speak because I don't know how the frog community thinks about that one, but this other frog, you know. In terms of affability, he might even be better than Kermit. This is the one that Three Dog Night was singing about. You guys know this frog. Yeah, Jeremiah. He was a bullfrog. In fact, a dear friend of mine. I never asked. You know, I see him. You know, I'd say once a month, maybe or so. Jeremiah, I do. I never asked where he got his wine from. You know, I'm always curious. You know, because it's obviously very pretty good. So you know, it must be something about you know, those hill folks doing their own brewing. That's what they learn. But frogs, you know, I mean. None of them are arrogant. I mean, some are lazy, but as you see with, you know, Jeremiah, Kermit, countless others, they're good people. They're good people. It's there's nothing to be afraid of a frog. You know, just don't get too close. Respect their space. You know, there's a couple frogs that are even bums. You know, there's, you know, they're not. It's not that they don't have a job, but they're, you know, they're lazier frogs. But like I said, they're not. They're not arrogant. They don't think they're better than anybody. They're just sitting on a bump on a log, you know, watching the tide roll by. I guess, well, they're in a swamp, so yeah, there's a tide. There should be a tide. But, you know, they're still good frogs. Mud. Wise. Mud. Wise. Mud. Wines, mud, wines, mud, wines, mud, wines, mud, wines, mud, wines, mud, wines. Of course, our fellows on that bumping a log in St. Louis. Those are good frogs. So why the arrogant frog? Well. As he was relating to me, he bought the place and decided, you know, it needed a refurbishing, and he took care of it. Did a fine job. It's really, you know, I probably wouldn't go in there without a shirt with a collar, but that's just me. But he said it was a poem, and it was, let me see if I can get, Guy Whitmore Carey, I think is the name of the fella. Let me just double check this fact for you guys. I'd hate to be wrong about this. So he wrote the poem, and it's he gave me a really old copy of the book, and an original printing too. This book had to be from, you know, 30s, 40s. I don't know, maybe previous. Pages were falling out. I had to be delicate, you know, as I snacked on the complimentary pretzels. You know, no crumbs in this book. I put the pretzel down for the time being and read the poem, and I'll read it for you guys here so you can get a little. Idea of how it went. So, once on a time and in a place conducive to malaria, there lived a member of the race of Rana Temporaria, or more concisely still, a frog, inhabited a certain bog. A bull of Brobdin... This guy's one heck of a writer. A bull of Brobdingnagian size, too proud for condescension, one morning chanced to cast his eyes upon the frog I mentioned, and being the manner born, surveyed him with a lofty scorn. So in case you couldn't tell, there's a frog in a bog, but then here comes a bull. Here we go. Perceiving this, Bactrian's frame with anger was inflated, till, growing larger, he became egregiously elated, for inspiration's sudden spell had pointed out a way to spell. Ha ha, he proudly cried, a fig for this, your mammoth torso. Just watch me while I grow as big as you, or even more so. To which magniloquential gushed, his bullship simply answered, tush. So, okay, all right. It's a challenge. This frog, he's inflating himself. You know, the gizzard they got in front. He's blowing himself. I could be bigger than you, boy. I ain't afraid. Who's scared? Alas, the frog's success was slight, which really was a wonder, in view of how with main and might he strove to grow rotunder. And standing patiently the while, the bull displayed a quiet smile. But ah, the frog tried once too oft, and doing so, he busted. Whereat the bull discreetly coughed and moved away disgusted, as well he might, considering the wretched taste that marked the thing. sad ending to that frog, you know. But, you know, it was like he was asking for it. It's a cautionary tale, not to be too arrogant. Guy Whitmore Carroll, GUYWETMORECARYL. A unique spelling for guy, or Guy. I think it's guy. But yeah, so the frog is he's sitting there, and all of a sudden this bull walks by kind of nonchalantly. It's not like he was strutting. And then the frog, you know, says, "Oh, what are you doing in my turf?" Nobody, and I mean nobody, pushes us around in our house, Coach Dan Devine. So the frog, you know, barrels his mighty chest, and he pays for it. Kaboom! You know, it's a cautionary tale not to be too proud. So I said to the owner, "Oh, that's why you call it the arrogant frog. Do you explain this to everybody?" that's the one thing I legitimately wonder, because I know it turned me off at the beginning, and I imagine countless other people wouldn't even walk into the joint unless it was, you know, without understand, you know, if they still had a bias against the perceived slander of frogs given by the name. But if you understand the meaning, you know, it's kind of neat. You know, I guess it's to really get the meaning, you do have to learn it like that, you know, like by reading the poem. You can't just, you know, just have the bartenders tell you, "Oh, it's a poem," you know. It's like, "Oh, cool, I can name a bar after a poem." You know, Where the Sidewalk Ends, Shel Silverstein. You know, it's not mine, but this, you know, this was kind of unique. You know, it's a lesser known poem. It's and unless you really wanted to, you know why they call it the arrogant frog, you got to go in there and learn for yourself. So I guess that's almost a nice way of filtering the people who come in, when you think about it. You know, because it'll spurn the people who are not willing to go in and, okay, arrogant frog, let's see what this is all about. Not willing to investigate, not willing to maybe walk in hesitantly into a place like that with a name you don't like, you know. I went in there with a name I didn't like, and now, you know, I appreciate it. I may stop back by there one of these days. Lovely little spot, you know, not too far from my apartment. I walk by it so often that it took me, you know, 8 months to go there finally. Ooh-wee, it's been one heck of a morning, and we're just getting started. It's 9:01. You're listening to Jake Berent on Radio DePaul. This is the Polka Dot Crockpot. I'm trying to find something to play for you guys. I don't know what you'd like to hear. Sorry, just gotta get tuned up. One of the few blues riffs I know. Harmonica's not as easy as it looks. I thought it was a lot easier when I first got one. You can play anything, you know. But to play a song, you know. Takes a little skill, a little focus, a little bit of everything. That reminds me of a harmonica song. You guys know the Rolling Stones, Mick, Keith, and the fellas. Oh, they burgeoned from the blues. It's where all that stuff came out of. Let It Bleed? No, what's the album I'm looking for? You guys know. Exile? No. Is it? I can't tell. I can't tell. Yeah, you guys know the one I'm looking for. So I'm going to take a little bit of a break here and let the fellas from the Rolling Stones take over. Whoops. Wrong one. Oh, it appears I got mixed up for a second. Here's the one I wanted.
Talking about the midnight. The one. towards the bedroom door. I'm called, hit and run, reaper, in anger. The knife sharpened, tiptoe. Oh, just a shooting dead, brain bell jangling. You know, the world you've never seen before. So if you ever meet the midnight rambler,
Midnight Rambler, Stones, Let It Bleed. Good album. A lot of good tracks on that one. As it's 9:10 in the morning, it's probably raining still outside. I have no idea. I'm in a basement right now, so no windows, no doors. Well, there's doors, but no windows. A few closets, couch, you know, everything I need, really. Well, I could use some Triscuits, but then again, couldn't I always? Oh man, so yeah, I'm coming off another banner weekend. Had to stall a crowd for a crowd of 40 people. I was gonna make a speech. I was addressing the crowd, the parade, speech. You know, I had an idea in mind. These weren't prepared remarks, but I addressed the crowd and was ready to ceremoniously pass the torch. You know, the new leader of the parade. So I called the guy's name and he wasn't there. He was in the can. Of course, you know, those are the special big moments, you know, in your life that you're really going to remember, you know, that they call your name for an Oscar and you're in the John, you know, it's like, oh, son of a, ah, you know, you wish you could have been right there, but hey, what? Yeah, it's like being the guy that has your phone go off at a wedding. Like, oh. I've done that twice, actually. By complete accident, you know. I called a buddy while he was sitting in church at a wedding. And, you know, twice. You know, one time, I think a kid had it was a Dropkick Murphys ringtone. So, you know, I call him. You know, everybody, you know, 70 eyes turn around and stare. Gosh darn it, Brian. Then the other time, I don't know what it was. I really hope it was the but that's happened twice. So anyways, yeah, I was in front of a crowd and I had to stall him. The kid wasn't there. So I told it a joke I remembered. You guys probably all heard it before. Maybe I'll share it later. I don't know. One of my grandpa's old jokes. It's called 96. I may share it with you later, but everybody's probably already heard it. So I had to stall this crowd, and you know, I didn't know how much time he had. You know, we were on the 42nd floor, and he had run down to the girls whose apartment building it was on, I don't know, maybe the 21st floor, and you know, it was a long elevator ride up back up, so I had to stall him, and finally he came and passed the torch ceremoniously. You know, he was Gilligan, and he just became the skipper. And that was a relief for me, though, because after that, I was done. It wasn't my parade to lead anymore. I've relinquished the reins. Told my joke, told my story, said thank you to all, and good evening. So, here's a joke. I don't know why this is kind of completely out of context, but it's by one of those, by one of my friends, the old Space Ghost guys I was telling you. This is Brack.
I had this gym teacher in school who talked like this. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, boy. Yeah, buddy, 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 boy, 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 boy. Yeah. Hey, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy, baby, boy, buddy, baby, boy. Yeah, 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 baby, baby, boy. Yeah, buddy. I liked him a lot because he gave me a D. Sure I did. When I told my mom about it, she got so excited, she baked me a cake. The end.
Ah, nice little tale. Rewarded with an entire cake. What kind do you think it was? Just a regular vanilla, whatever kind of filling you call that. Cake, let's call it. Yeah. Not the red velvet. I'm getting sick of red velvet a little bit. I don't know about you guys, but there's these buzz flavors that fade in and out, you know. Chipotle, that was all the rage a couple years ago. Now it's starting to fade out. Sriracha is hot and popular right now. You know, they fade in and out. You know, there's some staples. You know, there's your Hidden Valley Ranch, your Sweet Baby Ray's. There's some things that'll be around a while. These condiments have staying power. You know, Hellman's horseradish. No, not the horseradish. I mean tartar sauce. That's the stuff. That's not going anywhere. We're still going to have that. Don't be alarmed. You could find yourself in, I don't know, Tupelo, Mississippi. You'd still find a nice jar of Hellman's tartar sauce. You want some catfish down there in Mississippi. Comforting to know wherever you travel, you'll have these luxuries, all that stuff. You're gonna toss it to the vinyl again. What do you think about that, guys? I brought some more dollar store finds. There's a guy, there's a girl, and then there's a couple more fellas. Let me see what I brought today. Oh, I brought my Wookiee. Speaking of National Star Wars Day, a little early, my Wookiee interpreter. It's kind of gives you. It's not. It's by no means a comprehensive guide, to the Wookiee language. You know, what the fellows on Kashyyyk, what they speak. The native language is called Shurwook. For those of you who are taking notes at home, that's spelled Shyriiwook. So write that down. Shurwook, I believe is what it's called. And it's the Wookiee language. You want to know how to say you look fabulous in Wookiee? Why, thank you. Oh, here's one for you. When you're on the slopes, of course. This is Meet Me at the Ski Lift. Uh-oh. This is one that'll benefit you guys. Listen closely, because if you are ever in, you know, a cantina or that, you know, round chess type game those guys play on the starship, if you ever find yourself in an argument with a Wookiee, you know what Han says. He ripped a guy's arms off one time just for disagreeing with him. When he says this to you, when he says... When he says... When he says cut that out, you better know what that means. Wookiees, do not mess around. They're gonna be bigger than you. You know, I assume everybody listening, my entire audience is human beings here on Earth. So, He's going to be bigger than you. Wookiees run about 9 feet. That's that's documented. So if you find yourself into a fist fight, boy, are you in for trouble. Plus just the sheer strength and intimidation. You know, anytime you're taking on a furry beast, it's a little more intimidating, you know. If you don't know what's behind it, you can't see the muscle. So speaking of beasts, there's a record I picked up the other day at the another dollar bin find. It was actually 99 cents, not a dollar. Saved an extra penny. Hot dog. A gal by the name of Minnie Riperton. You know, may know her as a lady who sings "Loving You Is Easy 'Cause You're Beautiful." That girl. Oh, sorry. I may have shattered the panel here. We'll get that fixed. We got the engineers in here later. Minnie Riperton. Yeah, that girl. She's got an album cover, and it's pretty interesting. You know, it's her and sitting right next to a lion on a couch. Doesn't look like it was painted. It's a photograph. She's got flowers in her hair. She's a real pretty looking woman. And so she sings a few songs. Let me get it set on the turnstile here. You know, I haven't had time to sift through the applications for, you know, I've been meaning to hire a production assistant. I haven't had time to sift through the application. So much has been going on. You know, I could really use some help around here. This is a one-man show, which is, I mean, I like to have total complete creative control. But that doesn't mean I couldn't use a little help from my friends. So let me put on old Minnie for you. Give me one sec, guys. Okay, yeah, Minnie Riperton. Fun fact about her. You know Maya Rudolph, Saturday Night Live fame? That's her daughter, and she sings in the song about a girl named Maya who fought with a lion. It's kind of an interesting tale. She's got some, like I said, the pipes, you know, to hit that high note. All right, that's the last one of the day. I can't do that anymore. Minnie Riperton.
To love, you better grab it. I'm a liar. Him scooped up the bride from the place where she stands at the ceremony. The minister backed up. The father, he cracked up. The groom, him fell down to the ground on his knee. It's lonely world, my children. You gotta do the best you can. If you find a chance to love,
about that for some powerful vocals. Jeez, Minnie. She had pipes. Oh, those beautiful notes she hits. That's a nice little tale she tells. I like stories. Songs about stories. You know, songs about things. Something tangible. Something you could put your finger on. You can envision them. You know, it doesn't mean to say I don't like songs without words, because some songs just, they paint a picture themselves. They're so pleasing to the ear, they put it in your mind, you know. Sometimes it takes the right guy to do the right song. Sometimes it takes a different take on a different song. In the spirit of puppetry. Got another one for you from the gang over at Sesame Street. Yeah, I was surprised to see earlier Kermit and Cookie Monster. That's a crossover of puppet realms. Are they parallel universe? I don't know.
One and one, out here is the thing to do. Now some say that screaming 1 + 1 all night means we're thoughtless, cruel, and bad. But kids like you and me, baby, we were born to add. Yes, girl, we were. As we keep on wondering, we see two trash cans, so we add one and make it three. There's a lot of us adders on the Jersey Shore. Out here is the thing to be. Yeah, we'll keep on shouting 1 + 2, even though it makes them mad. 'Cause kids like you and me, baby, we were born to add. Four.
That was a good one there, guys. Baby, we were born to enter. Great take on that there by Sesame Street. I don't know the name of the puppet. It probably had a real clever Bruce Springsteen parody name. You know, I don't know. Whatevs. We'll figure that out later. I'm no puppet historian. I don't pretend to be. That museum, I believe it's in Muncie, Indiana, the National Puppet Hall of Fame. What, you've never been on a weekend trip to Muncie? Oh, there's so much to do there. There's the Puppet Hall of Fame. There's the old mustard factory. The historic red barns of Muncie, Indiana. The railroad station restored. They used to host the annual train race, you know. yes, that's right, a train race. These trains, God bless them for not really realizing that they were all on the same track. But they'd race. They'd have a race. They'd race. They'd go from Muncie to Muncie. They'd go about 500 miles east, hit a switching table, all turn around, and, you can imagine that fiasco, how that would go on train tracks. If you guys don't get the joke, give me a call at 773-325-734, and I'll explain it to you. I've never been to Muncie. Oh, you know, there's a guy I know who's been all across this place. He sings the song that was just parodied. He didn't write it, but he sings it. He's probably the most prominent Bruce Springsteen cover artist in the greater Midwest area, and that's a fellow by the name of Bruce Springstone.
Was when I hit the ground, in a black dog, that's been beat too much till you spin.
All right, and that was Mr. Bruce Springsteen's version of Born in the USA, exactly like Bruce's, but just a little different. He does it Springsteen. You're listening to Radio DePaul and Jake Berent on the Polka Dot Crockpot Monday morning, May 5th. Isn't there something special about May 5th? Or maybe it's the 15th. I don't know. The 5th of May. Cinco de Mayo! That's it. Why couldn't I think of that on the top of my head? Happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody out there. It's a Mexican holiday, from what I understand. I don't actively celebrate, but my environment does, and so I am also thrust into the celebratory mood. Hey, everybody loves a party. Chicago loves a parade. Loves them. Literally, we love them. Always nice to have something to celebrate, you know, instead of something to mourn, something to remember that will give people some joy. You know, put smiles on the faces. That's what it's all about. It's 9:37 in the morning. I think I'm gonna throw it to another song. It's, like I said, it was a long weekend. We'll see what else I got. You guys heard of the Mamas and the Papas? Big Mama Cass, John, Michelle, Denny. Well, they're pretty good. Come on, what is it? California Dreamin'. They sing backup a lot for people. This is another dollar bin record find, and I was initially upset because I bought a Mamas and the Papas album, and the record inside did not match the one on the cover. Well, that stinks. What did you guys give me? Paid $1 for this thing? But after listening to it, you know, you got to give it a shot. You got to let it play its 40 minutes. Give us its fair trial. It's innocent until proven guilty. That's the way we play things in this country. Fair judge and a fair trial. Glad we're playing that way. So I'm going to throw on something from Mama Cass and the rest of the Mamas and the Papas. I may have played this before for you guys. I can't remember. Either way, it's a groovy tune and something you can really twist your hips to. Slowly, mind you. This is only Monday. We don't want to wear ourselves out here. I hope you guys did your calisthenics. You know, touch your toes, swing around the hips, shake the shoulders up. You know, maybe a couple push-ups. Try to do a pull-up. I can do one. Yeah, you can, of course. So, here's the Mamas and the Papas.
Shake it up, baby. Now twist and shout. Shake it, shake it. Come on.
Yeah, shake it up, baby. Mamas and the Papas. Groovy little version. It's toned down more so than the Beatles like to sing it. You know, I still could see Ferris Bueller swinging on a float to it, but, you know, not in that parade. Maybe a different parade. I always like a different take on a different tune. You know, maybe makes you think about the lyrics a different way, you know. The rhythm at your back is definitely plays into how you listen to things. Not only listen, you got to read into things. And I was reading a book. It's a fantastic book. Actually, it was given to me by my grandfather. He lent it to me from his personal library. It's called The Cat's Pajamas. I think I mentioned to you guys last week. It's kind of a dictionary of some of these odd phrases you hear. You know, it explains how, you know, good grief came to be. Why people say good grief, or, you know, gee whiz. Down in the dumps, as the crow flies, crocodile tears, cold fish, make no bones about it, you know, bonkers. Where the heck did bonkers come from? I can tell you. Let's go to one I was looking at earlier today. I've made it all the way to the P section, which is pretty far. It's 163 pages deep in this comprehensive guide over 200 different phrases. But I came across Paint the Town Red. You know, it's an expression for doing it up large. You know, having a heck of a time, and whether you want to or not, everybody knows about it. So here's the entry for Paint the Town Red, just a short paragraph. So during the ancient Roman Saturnalia, the annual display of public licentiousness, which gave Rome its reputation for orgiastic behavior. Not all the sports were carnal ones. Among the more sedate Saturnalian diversions was a game known as Simulacrum Rubens, which translates roughly as Red Statue. Okay, so rival bands of youths would wander the streets, competing with each other to see who could drench the most marble statues with red wine. So it's a, kind of a vandalism event. You know, I guess they used to compete about that in Rome. It's a festival. Who cares? The entertainment was particularly popular during the consulship of Cicero. Huh, interesting. Who noted in a recently discovered letter that the effigies of Bacchus, for obvious reasons, were singled out most often for this honor. Because of the porous marble, frequently kept getting the tint of wine for some time after the festival, the youths were said literally to have painted the town red. So that's interesting. I didn't know marble was that absorbent, that it could soak up all the wine. But yeah, apparently the statues just stayed wine for a while. And so gradually this expression came to be applied not just to the revelries of Saturnalia, but to high-spirited nights out in general. There's a history lesson for you guys. So next time you paint the town red, make sure it's actually red. It could be a different color now. It's 9:44. We don't have much time left. I think I'll go to the vinyl maybe one more time. I don't know. What would you guys like to hear? I haven't had any guests today. I'd done it all alone. It's been good. Gotta let it out. So let me find something for you. I think I got another country fella. His name's John Hartford. Another dollar store find for me. You should see the album cover on this guy. He's got these spacey looking goggles. They're square, you know, like pilot's goggles. It's messed up hair, long, you know, 3-inch beard. He's a country fella through and through. You know, he's still wearing a jean shirt and not overalls, but man, those pants are pretty high. He's got one simple message for you. It's not hard to figure out, you know. Most country songs aren't hard to figure out. Listen to my good friend John Hartford.
Come and listen in to the radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on, turn your radio on. If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on,
turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on,
turn your radio on,
and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on,
turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share, turn your lights down low.
Turn your lights down low,
and listen to the Master's radio. Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on,
turn your radio on. Come and listen in to the Gloryland chorus. Listen to the glad hosannas. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Get a little taste of love eternal. Get a little heaven in your soul. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Have the glory share. Glory share. Turn the lights down low.
Turn your lights down low.
Turn your radio on. It's a simple message, John is telling you. Looks like a simple man. And there's not much more to it than just turn it on and sit back, relax, and give a listen. Let's see what else I got for you guys. I only got a few minutes left. Thinking about some comedy I've seen before. I don't know. Who's got some jokes? I think I'll go with another tune. I'm feeling some music this morning. I don't know about you, but I do know about myself. I'm trying to find something good for you guys. I don't know. What are you feeling? Some Bob Seger, some Beach Boys, some Toto. I don't know, more Bob Seger. I'm sorry. I'm just going through my iTunes. Dougie Fresh, The Police. Terry Gilkison and the Easy Riders. Oh, I've got, you know what? I've got one for you guys. It's a song I actually just discovered. It's a little on the sad side, but it's quite moving. It's a beautiful old folk song. Can't remember the name of the fellow who wrote it. Tom Paxton is the guy. You know, originally when I heard it, I have an Irish roommate. He plays some Irish tunes from time to time, and I was like, what is this? And then like, oh, I don't know, neither do I. So we listen to it, and it's a beautiful song. Tom Paxton.
It's a lesson too late for the learning, made of sand, made of sand. In the wink of an eye, my soul is turning. In your hand, in your hand. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. You've got reasons aplenty for going. This I know, this I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Please don't go, please don't. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my As I lie in my bed in the morning, without you, without you. Each song in my breast dies a born in without you, without you. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. That was the last thing on my mind.
Alrighty then, that'll just about do it. It's 9:52 and we gotta sign off for the day. As we say goodbye, I think we also have to say hang on out there. It's gonna be a wild ride, and just hang on, Sloopy. Hang on, I'll see you guys next time.